Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen Amma ba'd fa'audu billahi min shaitan rajim Bismillahir Rahman Rahim As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to the program Call to Righteousness. And in every program, we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak. And the blessing that we're going to give you today is narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that on the day of judgment, the day of Qiyamah, the closest to me amongst the people will be those who have read the most amount of Durood Sharif upon me in this dunya. Allah Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Viewers of Madhi Channel, try and make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak on a daily basis. Make it a routine, make it part of your lifestyle, insha'Allah azatul. And who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Madhi Channel, in this program, Call to Righteousness, we're talking about how the pious predecessors would never miss any opportunity. They would never miss any opportunities of calling people toward the path of righteousness. Whether they're walking, talking, wherever they are, they would try and call people toward the path of righteousness. It is stated that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Bashir, Ramatullahi Ta'ala stated, that I and Fasawi, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, were going to Syria. When a person suddenly came and said, having said salam to us, he said, O Abu Yusuf, give me some advice. Listening to this, he, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, wept and then said, conveying the call to righteousness, O brother, frequent coming and going, days and nights indicate that your body is weakening, your age is ending, and your death is fast approaching. O my brother, you must not be satisfied unless you have known for sure that you would have a good end. Never get heedless, because you do not know whether you would enter heaven or you would enter hell, or whether Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with you because of His mercy and bounty, or is displeased with you because of your sins and heedlessness. O feeble man, do not forget what you actually are. You were an impure droplet in the beginning, and you would be a rotten corpse in the end. If you are unable to realize the depth of my advice now, you would soon realize when you're buried in your grave, where you'd feel shame, but will be of no use. Seeing this, he, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, became silent and began to weep. Overcome with emotion, the advice-seeking person also began to cry. And the narrator goes on to say that both of them were so cried so much that they became unconscious. Seeing this, the narrator himself started to cry. Viewers of Madhi Channel, from this we can see that divine fear, the divine fear of our pious predecessors, even whilst conveying the call to righteousness, they themselves would cry with divine fear. And today, if anybody is crying with divine fear, if anybody's reading the Quran, reading the Naat, giving a speech, and as a result of them, you see them shedding tears, then you should never have a negative opinion about them. Because to have a negative opinion about them, considering him to be an ostentation person, is a haram act and leading to hell. Therefore, we should refrain from having these negative opinions. So if you see somebody that they're giving a speech, they're reading a Naat, or they're reading the Quran, and they start crying and they're shedding tears, then we should never think to ourselves, oh, he's only showing off. He's only showing off. Again, we should never have these thoughts. We should, in ourselves, we should try avoid showing off, but at the same time, we should avoid the thoughts that other people are showing off as well. Sayyidina Makhul Dimashqi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, once said, when you see someone weep, you should also weep with them. Don't form negative opinion that he is weeping ostentatiously. So viewers of Madhi Channel, to assume without any accurate indication that a person weeping in his dua is an ostentation person is no doubt a sin leading to the hellfire. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk very quickly. I'll try to talk about this. There's a lot to talk about when it regards to ostentation. And some ayats we're going to give to you, viewers of Madhi Channel, conveying the call to righteousness with the intention of enhancing enthusiasm and avoiding ostentation and making others avoid it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whoever desires the life of the world and its luxuries We will give them the full compensation for the deeds in it, and we will not make any reduction in it. Commenting on the above ayat, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that the ostentation are given the reward of the virtuous deeds within the world life and are not oppressed at all. Allahu Akbar. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, protect us from ostentation. It is stated, viewers of the channel, on page 166 of the book Riyakari, which is another book that's published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat Islami, that you can download this book. It says that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept the deed that has ostentation in it, even equal to a mustard seed. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said that Allah Azza wa Jalla has declared haram, heaven haram for every ostentation person. Heaven is haram for that person that has ostentation inside him. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of my channel, the one departing this life with faith can be forgiven without accountability, or it can be made to enter heaven after being punished for some time, depending upon the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, commenting on the part of the hadith that heaven is haram for the ostentation person, Allama Muhammad Abdul Rauf Manawi rahmatullah stated that it means that the ostentation person will not enter heaven at the beginning. So those fortunate Muslims that will enter paradise without accountability, these will not be amongst those people. These will not be amongst those people that have ostentation inside them, even to the level of a mustard seed. Explaining ostentation with the help of an example, Hajjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that if a person keeps standing before the king all day like a servant, but his aim is not to gain the closeness of the king, but to look at the maiden, this is certainly disrespect to the king. Now think, how hateful and unpleasant it would be to worship Allah Azza wa Jal to impress a weak and helpless bondsman who can neither cause a loss nor can benefit us. So the example that is given there is that if a person stands all day in front of the king, yeah, and he's not there to serve the king, but he's there that he can look at the maid that they're there, then he has achieved nothing. In the same way, if our purpose is to stand in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, but our purpose is not to please Allah Azza wa Jal, to please others as well, then again, we have not benefited from it at all. So what is the definition? What is the definition of riya? What is the definition of ostentation? The definition of ostentation is to perform worship with regard to our good deeds in regard to our worship. To perform worship with any intention other than the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. In other words, ostentation is to perform worship with intention of informing people about the worship, so that the ostentation person can get money from them, or be praised by them, or considered pious with them, or treated with respect by them. And all of this is the definition of ostentation. And today, viewers on the channel, we're going to give you some examples, because what happens is we don't realize what ostentation is, and we don't realize that we're actually committing this sin. And like I said at the beginning, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if we have a mustard seed inside us, then we need to remove that. We need to remove that. And in the same way, viewers of the Mother Channel, that when you go to the doctors and you get your blood test done and you have all your checks, you need to check yourself. You need to look at yourself. You need to examine yourself and be honest with yourself and say, am I not falling into any of these traps of ostentation? So today we're going to give you some examples of ostentation. And hopefully, whilst you're listening to these examples, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Every one of these examples, and I'm approximately going to give you probably 80 examples of ostentation. There's probably more as well, but I'm just going to give you 80 examples of ostentation, and I want you to ask yourself, am I falling into any of these traps? To offer salah regularly so that people will consider him very steadfast in salah. So if you offer namaz with the intention that people will say, oh mashallah, he's a person that offers his namaz, you know, regularly. For a hafiz to lead tarawih salah for money. If you're doing it just for money, if you're reading the tarawih salah purely for money, then again, what have you received? Money. What should you be receiving? The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, if you read the tarawih salah for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and you get the money as well, then marhaba. But if you're purely doing it, you're going from one place to another, £200, £300, £400, £500, this place is given £800, I'll go to the most expensive place. If you're doing it for that reason, then that's what you get. You'll get that money. Whatever your intention is, that's what you'll get. To attend the Sunnah inspired Ijtima, or to offer Salah with Jamaat, or to do Sadaya Madina, on the day of one's marriage or on the occasion of a funeral at one's home, so that people will admire him and praise him and saying, such a great sentence is great. Even though on such an important day, he still performed a great deed. So for example, you're getting married and still you go to the Ishtamah, you're getting married, you still perform your Jamaat, you're getting married, you still perform these good deeds, which is a good thing. You should do these things, but doing it with the intention that people will say, Allah, even on this day he's still done this? Wow, what a great person he is. To offer salah calmly, with the humility of the body in the presence of people to impress them. Again, what is your namaz like at home? What is your namaz like in front of people? If it's the same, then marhaba. But what happens normally is at home, you very, very quickly read your namaz, but in the masjid when everybody's watching, then it's the sunnah, the nafal, and you're very, very doing this. So again, question yourselves, viewers of my channel. If a person who has attended the Ijtima' Zikranat at some holy night or has offered Salatul Tahajjud rubs his eyes or stretches during the day in the presence of people so that they will come to know that he has not slept at night but has stayed awake performing good deeds, this is an indication of ostentation. So if you stayed up all night doing Ibadat and you're sitting like, oh, really tired, you know, really tired. Because last night, you know, it was such a big night and, you know, alhamdulillah, I stayed up all night, you know, I did that Salatul Tasbih, I was unable to read the extra number of Siparas, alhamdulillah, but you know, I'm really tired. Why are you telling people? Why are you telling people? Why are you, you know, rubbing your eyes in front of people and letting people know that you stayed up all night? Allahu Akbar. To offer nafl salah such as Ishraq, Chasht, Awabin and Tahajjud in the presence of people so that they will regard him as a very keen offerer of nafl salah. Your nafl, offer them in private. You don't need the whole world to know that you're doing this. Yes, offer your Jamaat, but all these extra, offer them in private. You don't want other people knowing your good deeds. Why should you? You only want to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Or do you? Or do you want them people out there to realize that you are a person that's offering all these extra prayers? And again, this is a sign of ostentation. If a person is considered regularly offer of Tahajjud, an observer of Nafl Sayyam, but in fact he is not so, there may be a risk of ostentation for him. For example, when introduced to people as a performer of these virtuous deeds, he lowers his head with a smile on his face, giving the impression as if he performs these deeds. It is an obvious example of ostentation. So for example, if someone introduces you and says, you know, mashallah, this brother, he fasts, he does nafl fast every week, he performs fasting on Monday and Thursday, you know, I've seen him, he's been offering tahajjud for as long as I've known him, and you just lower your head. That is a sign of ostentation because it's not true. If you were to say, no, brother, actually, you know what? I fast occasionally, alhamdulillah, but I'm not a regular doing it. You know, I try my best. You know, again, so don't let people think that you are what you're not. And if you make people think what you are not, then that is a sign of ostentation. If someone who has woken up to offer tahajjud coughs loudly or does other things so that his wife or other family members can wake up and be impressed to see him offer tahajjud, even in your own house, this is an example of ostentation. So if nobody in your house offers tahajjud and you get up in the middle of the night, go to the washroom, perform wuzu, come back, offer tahajjud, get back into your bed. Nobody knows about it. But you want the whole family to know about it. Switch the lights on. Go to the wuzu and we're gurgling our water and everything. We wake up the whole household. So everybody knows, oh, he got up to offer tahajjud, yeah? Why? Why are we making these loud noises, switching on all the lights that everybody knows? Again, ask yourself the question. To stay late at the masjid after offering salah so that people consider him a pious person. You know, the Imam Sahib left, the committee members left, and you're staying there. You're staying there so that people know, wow, what a great person. He loves staying in the masjid. He doesn't want to leave the masjid. To offer salah regularly in the first row of the masjid so that people will praise him and be impressed with him. Now again, if you're doing it because that's what you want to do, you want to be in the first row, you want to get the reward of the first row, and you try to arrive there early to do that, then all well and good. But if you're doing it so that everybody here knows that I perform salah and I'm in the front row, and you let everybody know about it, yeah? You stand up and look around, you know, when they're standing up for salah, you look around and make sure everybody knows you and everybody sees you, you check who's there, you're looking behind you, okay, and they all see you, oh mashallah, he's here again, and you're checking everybody out. You're not checking everybody out, you're allowing people to check you out, and you're letting everybody know that you're in the first saf. And if you do this regularly, then isn't that a sign of ostentation? Ask yourself the question. If you are fortunate, and it's a great blessing being in the masjid in the first row, but if you're there as a result of that, you want people to know that, you want people to think that you're a great pious person, then again, isn't this a sign of ostentation? To express regret in the presence of people missing the first rule or missing the Jamaat, so that people will consider him a very enthusiastic person about being in the first rule or Jamaat. So for example, if you missed it and you say to him, oh, you know what, I missed Jamaat this morning. Not only that, I missed the first rule. Or you say to him, you know what, I got my Jamaat this morning, but you know what, I was a little bit late, and so I missed the first rule this morning. You know, normally I'm in the first row every day, but I missed it today. I'm going to have to make sure I get up earlier tomorrow. I'm going to set my alarm 15 minutes. And you tell people this. Why are you telling people this? Are you not telling people so that you can, people will think, wow, yeah, this person, not only does he read his Jamaat, but he reads in the first row as well. And he's really upset, you know, that he missed his Jamaat. He's really upset that he missed his first row. Allahu Akbar, what a great pious person that is. Isn't that, again, a sign of ostentation? And then I'm going to give you some examples. That was regarding salah. I'm going to give you some examples for our mubaligh that are out there. And again, even those that are preachers, it can, ostentation can come into you as well. And so I need to examine myself. I need to check myself out. I need to be aware of my weaknesses, and I need to learn from this advice that I'm going to give to you today, inshallah, and I'm hopefully learning as we're going along as well. To deliver a speech in an ishtama, so that people will praise his speech and call him a good preacher. So when you give a bayan, you know, I go around and you give your bayan, and your nafs wants, you know, there's a part of your nafs that wants people to say that you did a good speech. And you need to control that nafs. You need to control that nafs. And you know, it's really funny, viewers of my channel, that, well, it's not funny, it's something that happens that, you know, whenever there's an ishtama, and there'd be a huge ishtama, there might be 5,000 people there, 10,000 people there, and the whole setup is there, the lights are there, cameras are there, food stalls are there, book stalls are there, everything set up there, security is there, first aid is there, all the different departments are running to come together to bring this ishtama together, the coach is booking, the books is booking, the parking, the security, everybody's there. At the end of the ishtama, at the end of the gathering, who do they praise? The speaker. Yeah. Do they ever go to the people and, wow, you know, that lighting that you set up today was really good. Then speakers, the sound was brilliant, no shasha, really clear sound, mashallah, the security was very good. The parking guy, you go to the parking guy and say, mashallah, you did a good job today in the freezing cold, parking all these cars. No, we praise the preacher. So the preacher, he himself has to control his nafs. He has to control his nafs, because he is the person that is under the attack of shaitan. Nobody goes up to the security guy and say, mashallah, mashallah, what an excellent job you did today. Fantastic job you did today. And he's swelling with pride, yeah? He knows. And so when you think about it, this is why I tell people to come and join the environment of Da'wah Islami. Because if you come and, you know, whatever act you perform, whatever task you perform, it may seem insignificant in the scheme of things, but in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if it is done with the purest intention, then it'll get the greatest reward. So that person that is, after everybody's left, everybody's gone, and he's hoovering up the masjid, cleaning the masjid, picking up all the rubbish from the car park, putting it into the bins, he might get more reward on the Day of Judgment than the main speaker of that event today. Because he's doing it with ikhlas. Whereas that person that's doing that great speech, he's doing it so that people will say, Subhanallah, what a great speaker, you are fantastic. You know, you said things today I've never heard before. So again, control your nafs. Make sure that you don't have this ostentation inside you. And if you do, then remove it. You are doing it purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I remember once somebody saying that a person, he did a speech. He did a speech in a masjid, and there was maybe a couple of hundred people there. A couple of hundred people in the masjid. And as he was going out the masjid, another person was coming in. And he saw him, and this person said to Mazur, I've come to listen to your speech. And he said, I've done the speech. You know, I started Asr, I think it was, he said. And the person said, well, no, I was told it was after Maghrib, and it's Maghrib now. I come to listen to your speech. So the preacher, he said to him, okay, sit down, I'll do the speech again. And people were shocked. People were shocked that he's doing the speech all over again for this one person. Allahu Akbar. And when he was asked why, he said, previously I did it for one, now I did it for one. Previously I did it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, now I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It doesn't matter whether there's 200 people there, 500 people there, 1,000 people there, or just one person there. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. Question yourselves, viewers of my channel. To say emotional sentences in a loud, roaring voice during the speech, or to recite couplets in an enthusiastic way so that the audience will praise the speech by calling him a great preacher, saying marhaba, subhanallah. Again, isn't that, are you doing it with the intention so that people listen to you, or are you doing it with the intention that people will praise you? To use wonderful sentences, complicated words, Arabic sayings during the speech so that people will consider him a learned preacher and be impressed with him. Allahu Akbar. To say such sentences at the beginning of the speech, saying that I've been continuously traveling for 6 days, I've had to travel 13 hours before I got here, I'm very tired, I've not yet eaten anything, but I'm here to deliver the speech. You know, if you say, let people know that, oh, I've traveled all this way, it took me 13 hours to get here, I've not ate yet, I've not had anything to drink yet. And so you're letting people know and letting people feel sorry for you and thinking that, wow, he's so tired, he's traveled for 13 hours, he's not ate all day, he's not had anything to drink, and still, Allah, kya baat hai, he's standing up and he's giving us a speech. This, again, is to get the praise of people so that people will think, oh, look at the sacrifices that this guy is making. Look at what he is doing. To say such sentences that I've been traveling on a Madri Kafla for 25 months. I am Waqf-e Madina. You know, I travel all my life. I've been delivering speeches since the very first day. I've been continuously attending the mashwaras for several days. I've been traveling continually for 3 days in a month every single year. And to give people your basically your life story of how much work that you've done telling people so that people think, wow, this is a great person. And as a result of that, people listen to you. And people praise you, and you're thinking that, you know, I'm getting all this praise now because everybody thinks I'm a pious person. Now, if, for example, again, if somebody, you know, you should never do this anyway, but if, for example, you do end up saying things like this, and you do it with the intention that people will listen to you with the intention of listening, then okay, but, and you'd encourage other people to travel, but even then, the best way is to remain silent. Don't mention these things. Don't mention these things. Why are you mentioning these things? You know, you're not correcting the salah by telling them that you travel on a 25-month kafla. You're not correcting the wuzu by telling them that you've, you know, been in the mahal for the last 20 years. You're not correcting the Quran by telling them that you've done this and you've done that. You're not doing any of that. So get to the speech, tell them the speech, make a change in their lives. Encourage them, yes, encourage them to travel in the Madri kafla. But you don't have to tell them that I'm traveling. You don't have to tell them. And encourage them. And again, if you are, then ask yourself the question, is this not ostentation? To deliver 50 or 100 dars from the book for Sana Sunnat in a day so that people will appreciate and praise him with encouragement that, you know, he can say, I did 5 dars today, I did 10 dars today, I did 50 dars I give today. Do you know that? And what happens nowadays when we do this, we put it on social media. Today, alhamdulillah, by the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, I was able to give 26 dars today, I was able to give 50 dars today. Why are you telling people? Why are you telling people? Again, this ostentation inside ourselves. And you know, you need to be very careful because you perform these good deeds, but as a result of them good deeds, you're losing them good deeds. By showing off, you're losing them good deeds by this ostentation. And like I said to you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one mustard seed of ostentation inside you, and you're not going to enter into paradise. Allahu Akbar. To deliver a speech excellently and eloquently in the presence of some renowned or rich person, so that he will get impressed with the preacher and he will praise him. So normally, you give a speech, you don't put a lot of effort into it, but now you've been told, oh, such and such person's coming. Yeah, such and such scholar's coming, such and such rich person's coming, influential person. So now you know what, you prepare properly. Normally, you only spend 5 minutes getting ready to be on, but now you know what? I need to make sure it's good to be on. I need to make sure it's right. Now, it's good that you make sure it's right, but are you doing it for the right reasons? Are you doing it to impress that person? That influential person that's there, that rich person's there, are you doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? You should prepare your bayans, you should make sure that your bayans are spot on every single time. Not just because a certain person is there, not because a certain individual is there. You should be doing the work of being with the class and make sure that you prepare yourself every single time. Whether there are 2 people there or there are 2,000 people there. Whether they're considered layman there or whether they're considered rich or influential people there. It should not make any difference with regard to this. Just to give you an example, I remember once traveling with Rukni Shura Abdullah Bibai. And he's been coming, mashallah, he's been coming to the UK for many years now. And at the beginning, it was one of the first, like, influential people ishtama that we were holding. We're holding an influential people ishtama. All these influential people were there from the community. And he was asked, Nigrani Shura, that, you know, all these influential, busy people there, business people are going to be there, and all these people of the community, they're the high-ranking community, what should I talk about? What should I talk about? Can you imagine? What would you talk about with high-ranking, influential people, you know, financially strong people? You know what advice Nigrani Shura gave up the Labibai? He said to him, talk about wudu. Teach them wudu. And you know, when I heard that, I was shocked. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Teach them wudu. Teach them how to perform wudu properly. Allahu Akbar. High-ranking, influential people, financially strong people, people from the strength of the community, teach them this. And then I realized, that do the work for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that message that Nigrani Shura gave to Abdul Habib reverberated through me. I listened to it and I'll never forget it. That, you know, whatever you're doing it, don't think that who is there. Think what they need, not think what you think they need. Yeah? Understand what they need. And Nigrani Shura said that a lot of these people don't know how to perform wuzu, don't know how to perform the namaz. Teach them that. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. To establish relations with a politician, minister, or renowned or rich person so that people will come aware of it, and he will himself tell them that so-and-so politician is impressed with me, requests him to make dua, kisses his hands, or treats him with respect. So you build these relationships with these influential people so that people will say, oh yeah, well he, you know, that certain person, he listened to my speech, he liked it as well. Wow, did he like that speech? Wow, you must do a fantastic speech. Yeah, and so that rich, influential person, now you build relationships with him so that person kisses your hands or requests you to do dua or requests you to come home for doing them. If you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then that's okay. But if you're doing it so that he can respect you, and as a result of him respecting you, other people respect you, then that is ostentation. Allah. To try and motivate some minister or officer to come to the home of the preacher so that people will come to know that the officer are impressed with him and come to his house for du'as or blessings. So as a result, you let people know that this rich person came to my house, this influential person came to my house, he came to my house to see me, and you tell people about it, that such and such person, I was blessed, you know, and you say these words, I was blessed, my house was blessed with the presence of this person, my house was blessed with the presence of that person. And you let people know. Why? Why are you doing this? Again, if you're not careful, then this is also ostentation. To advise some officer or rich person, or to point out his mistake, giving the impression that he, the preacher, is not overawed, even by the influential and powerful people, and feels no fear in expressing the commandment of Sharia before anyone. So for example, you see someone that's rich, powerful, and you rectify him. You rectify him openly. You say to him, look, your namaz wasn't right, your wuzu wasn't right, this is what you should do, that is what you should do. And again, you're doing it so that all these people think, wow, you know what? This person's, when it comes to Sharia, yeah, bang on, yeah. He doesn't care who's in front of him. Bang on, he says what it is. He's not afraid of saying this. Views of the channel, you can rectify people in private. And you don't have to rectify people openly. Yes, there are certain times when you need to rectify people openly. But again, be very careful. You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that two Muslims that are like mirrors. They're like a mirror to each other. And what does a mirror do? A mirror tells you. A mirror will tell me if my mamashri is not straight. It'll tell me if it's stuck up. It'll tell me if there's any problems. You know, if my beard's in a mess. The mirror tells me. It doesn't run off the street, off the wall, go down the street and tell my neighbors. It tells me. In the same way, if we make mistakes, then as Muslims, we should rectify our own mistakes. You know, I remember again, talking about Rukn Shura, alhamdulillah, you learn so much from them. Rukn Shura Abdul Habibai once said to us, praise people in a gathering, but rectify them on their own. And again, that's such a beautiful saying. That if you want to praise someone openly. Yes, mashallah, good mubalik, mashallah, very hardworking. Praise them. Yes, there's nothing wrong with it. But the person that's being praised, he now needs to question his nafs. That I'm being praised now by Rukn Shura. I'm being praised now by a senior person. He is praising me, but I need to now say to myself, look, I'm not like, you know, I need to make sure that I remember, you know, remember my roots, remember who I am, stay humble, and stay and be thankful that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with this now, but also be fearful that how is my nafs taking this? How is my nafs now being affected by this? So when something good comes to you, how are you affected? How is your heart infected? When something bad comes to you, how are you affected? You know, Sayyidina Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that he was a businessman. And one day he was at the port, near the port, and someone came and informed him. He informed him that your ship is about to dock, but it's set on fire. It's set on fire and all of the goods on your ship, they are burnt and the ship has sunk. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, he paused for a second. He paused for a second and then he said, Alhamdulillah. Sometime later, someone came to him. He said, Azur, you know that news that we gave you before, it was false. The ship has docked, everything's okay, your goods have been taken off the ship right now. He paused for a second. Alhamdulillah, he said. Allahu Akbar. And when they asked him, you know, before, when your ship was sunk, you said, Alhamdulillah, now you're saying it again, why is this? He said, before when the ship was sunk, that I was informed that the ship had sunk and I'd lost all my goods. Obviously, such a great loss. I asked my heart, I questioned my heart, are you happy with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla? and my heart remained stable. My heart was not jumping, my heart rate did not increase, I was not worried. So I was glad at my state, and I praised Allah as a result by saying Alhamdulillah. And then when you came back, and all of a sudden you told me I'd got all of these goods, then the heart could have become excited that I received so much. What a great reward I've got. What a fortunate day it is. Again, my heart remained stable. And I said, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So again, these are the things that we need to try and question ourselves. Again, coming on to these acts, these signs of ostentation in preachers, we'll continue. It is stated that if a preacher has ever inspired a rich or renowned person to grow a beard, or has persuaded a notorious person to repent his sins, and then he mentions this incident to people, so that people will become, you know, impressed by him. So if you've made a rich or influential person have a beard, if you made him follow Salah, if you made him travel in the Madri Kafla, and you tell everybody, you know, it's because of me, I convinced him to grow a beard, I convinced him to travel in the Madri Kafla, I convinced him to do this, I convinced him, I was the person that made him revert to Islam, I was the person that did this, I was the person that did that, I was the, and this I, what are you achieving? What are you achieving? Alhamdulillah, yes, if you convince somebody to grow the beard on the face, if you convince someone to wear the imamah, travel in the Madni Kafala, become punctual in Salah, if you convince someone to come back to Islam, to revert to Islam, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, your reward is with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why are you looking for the reward from these people? That people will say, wow, wow, kya baat hai, yeah, look at the work that he's doing, yeah, look at, wow, he must be the greatest mubalik of the country, that guy, yeah, is that why you're doing it? So you get these titles of what a great mubalik he is? Allahu Akbar. To keep their eyes lowered while sitting with people, or delivering a speech, or making conversation with others, so that people will become impressed with him. Considering that he keeps his eyes lowered with modesty, and has applied the Madinah luck to his eyes, whereas his eyes wander everywhere else. Again, this is a problem. So whilst, you know, you're in gatherings, and whilst you're delivering dhash like that, whilst you're talking to people, you look a lot humble. And yet when you're on your own, looking here and there. Again, why is the one brother when you're with a gathering, and there is another brother when you're on your own? Ask yourself why. Is that not ostentation where you're showing off to people, that people think, wow, what a great person he is? To practice offering salah calmly and humbly, or keeping the eyes lowered in lowliness, so that he can do so when amongst people, impressing them with him. This is double ostentation, because the practice done in lowliness was not for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but for making people consider him a pious person. To fill in the Madani Namaz book in front of people. You know, the Madani Namaz book is the book that Amir al-Sunnah has given us, in which it's like a self-rectification card. And Amir al-Sunnah, he advises us to fill it every day. And you can download it on an app. You can download it from our website, www.dawudislami.net. And it's basically, this is the card to a self-reminder of things that you should be doing and you should not be doing. And if you start, if for example, you're filling in that card in front of people, you're filling it in and out to people, so people think, wow, yeah, he fills in the Madani Namaz, he reads the Madani Namaz card on a daily basis. What a great person he is. Why do you need to fill in that Madani Namaz card right then in front of them people? Can you not wait till you get home when you're on your own, when you're in your room and there's nobody there? Why are you filling it in front of people? Now, if you're filling it in front of people to try and convince them to fill in the Madani Namaz, so that they become habitual in filling in the Madani Namaz card, then that's all well and good. But if you're doing it so that people will think, wow, what a great person he is, what a pious person he is, then again. So a lot of it is dependent on your intention. And some examples will be dependent on your intention. What is your intention by filling in the Madani Namaz card in front of other people? To serve Islam, to travel with the Madani Kafla, and to make religious efforts, bearing hardship, so that people will praise the sacrifices that he made, will consider him an active and enthusiastic preacher. You let people know that I travel in Madani Kafla, I do this and I do that, and you're doing all this work, which is good. Which is good, but why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? So that people will think that you're a great mubalik, so that people will think that you're giving so much sacrifice to the deen, so that people will become aware of your good deeds. Are you doing it for that reason? If you're doing it for that reason, then once again, this is a sign of ostentation. Allahu Akbar. To travel to various countries of the world in the divine path, so that people will praise the sacrifices that he's made, and mention him as an example to others, and call him an international preacher. Allahu Akbar. You become an international preacher now, because you travel around the world, and people have seen you in this country and that country, and are you doing that so that people will call you the international preacher? Allahu Akbar. Ask yourself, why That is good. I'm saying, if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that ability to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that ability to travel around the world, then may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. But only seek reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because it is only Allah Azza wa Jalla that can reward you. And if you seek reward from others, then that reward that you'll get from Allah Azza wa Jalla will diminish. You will lose that reward if you're seeking reward from others. If you're seeking reward so that people will praise you, people will send social media clips of you being here, there and everywhere, and all these things, and think, wow, what a great person. He's here today, he's there tomorrow, he was in that country last week, he's in this country this week, he's here, there, what a great person is here. These are all signs of ostentation, viewers of the channel. Do it, whatever you do. I'm not saying don't do these good, do them. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the ability to travel, travel. Without doubt, travel. There is so much need, viewers of Madri Channel, for Madri Kafalas to travel all around the world. There is no such place in the world where we can say, okay, we do not need to send a Madri Kafala there again. This call to righteousness, which is what we are talking about in this program, this call to righteousness has to be consistently happen, continually happen. You cannot just say, okay, we've been there 20 times, don't need to go there again. You need to keep on traveling, keep on reminding, and this work of call to righteousness will never be complete. It needs to continue from now to the Day of Judgment. We need to continue this work. And if you are blessed with the opportunity to travel, then travel. But don't do it so that the whole world will know about it. Yeah? So that the whole world will praise you and see you and say, wow, Kabata, what a person, what a great person that is. And I myself, I need to ask these questions. We all need to ask these questions. If any of the Mubaliks are watching now, we all need to ask these questions. When we perform these good deeds, why are we doing them? Why am I sitting here now? I need to ask myself this question. Why am I sitting here right now? Am I sitting here right now so that people say, wow, you know, mashallah, he's on Madri Channel. He's done a silsila, he's done this, he's done that. And well, you know, that silsila was really good. He was really good. If this happened, that happened. Why? I heard that story. Never mentioned that story before. That's the first time I heard it. Brilliant. What a great preacher. What a great speaker. Is that why I'm doing it? I need to ask myself these questions. Or am I doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Now, I need to ask these questions. You need to ask these questions. And whatever good deeds we do, we need to constantly ask ourselves. Because shaitan never gives up. Shaitan never says to himself, okay, I've tried with this guy 20 times, I've tried with him 25 times, I've tried with him 100 times, I've tried with him 1,000 times. This guy I can't beat. I cannot overcome this guy. This person, Shaitan, will never give up with you. He will continually be on your case until you have your last breath. And even then, he will try and get you with ostentation. Even then, he will try and take your iman away from you. So we, again, perform good deeds, but be wary of why we're performing these good deeds. To call Sadaya Medina regularly, I to wake up Muslims for Salatul Fajr, so that people will praise him, saying such sentences as, he is not afraid of the dark, dogs, he's not afraid of the cold, he's not afraid of the rain, no matter how little sleep he's got. You know, there was a mashra going on till 2 o'clock, and yet he's there at 4 o'clock waking up people. Wow, what a great person he is. If you're doing it with that intention, Allahu Akbar. To convey the call to righteousness to someone, or to prevent him from evil, so that people will get impressed with the preacher and also consider him a great well-wisher of the Muslims. Saying such a sentence as that he is a religiously bold person and he cannot remain silent seeing evil, so that if he sees anything wrong, he doesn't remain silent. He sorts it out. He tries to rectify the problems of the Ummah. He's working tirelessly for the Ummah. Them people, again, you need to question yourself, viewers of the channel, why are you doing it? Viewers of the channel, we're going to come to the end of this particular episode of Call to Righteousness, because there are so many other examples that we're going to give you, and we'll give you them in the next episode, where we'll give you examples of how those people that perform naats or listen to naats, how they are affected by ostentation, how people who spend money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, how they are affected by ostentation, how general examples of ostentation. So inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in the next episode of Call to Righteousness, we'll cover these examples of ostentation. So please stay tuned and watch the next episode. Until the next episode, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.